Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A good leader is someone who never asks his subjects to do what he himself would not do first. And the best leader ever is Jesus Christ. That's why we call him the Lord. And he truly does live what he asks others to do so. In this gospel passage we hear, he's talking about this teaching of his, which is probably the most difficult teaching that he gives to us in the gospel. This whole idea of loving our enemies, of praying and doing good to those who hurt us. Sometimes people think that the most difficult teaching that Jesus gives to us is some teaching on morality. But I think that this teaching in the gospel today is probably the most difficult thing to carry out, because it touches us personally. You know, one of the first requirements that is necessary in order for us to be able to live this message of forgiveness, to be able to love those who have hurt us, the first requirement is we have to be hurt. Someone has to wound us. Someone has to do something or say something horrible to us or about us, and has to somehow really hurt us. Well, that's why this teaching of Jesus is so difficult. It touches us personally. And Jesus truly lives out this teaching. He doesn't just talk about it, he lives it. And you see this preeminently on the cross, when he's praying for those who are killing him. He's praying for those who have hurt him so badly, and he's asking the Father to forgive them. Jesus is truly walking the walk of what he speaks of in his teaching. Now, I want to focus on two aspects about this whole idea of being merciful to others and to being good to those who have harmed us. The first one is the idea of betrayal. You remember that Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. He's identified as the betrayer. And it has often been said that for the Lord Jesus, the most painful part of his suffering was not the nails of the cross, it was not the crown of thorns, it was not him being whipped and beaten. It was the fact that he had been betrayed by one of his own friends. Remember that Jesus referred to his apostles as friends. "I have called you friends," he has said. And that means that he had given his heart to his friends. You know, when you have a friend, when you have a loved one, you have a kind of devotion to them. Well, Jesus had this sort of devotion to Judas and to all the apostles and to all the people who would hear his word, actually to all people. And Judas betrayed him. And so it was something that was so painful for the Lord Jesus, someone toward whom he had only been good and had brought the blessings of heaven to, had turned against him. Now, when a stranger hurts you, or when someone that has never liked you hurts you, when they do something bad to you, when they speak a word negative to you or about you, it's bad enough. It's the kind of thing in this world that makes you feel that life is unfair and that you're a victim of injustice. But when a friend hurts you, it's a whole lot worse, because you had given to your friend a part of your heart, and it was like when they betray you, when they turn against you. And if this is for no reason at all, then it's like they attack your soul. And that can really hurt. It can make you be consumed with anger and confusion and a desire for revenge or even a kind of hatred. Well, Jesus in the gospel teaches us not to go down that path. Remember, he was betrayed. He knows what it's like as a personal experience. He says we have to forgive. We have to love our enemies, even if our enemy had once been our friend. It's very difficult, and we need to ask God for the grace to forgive others. I tell people when they struggle with forgiving others, I tell them, you know, even when you're all alone, say this out loud. In the name of Jesus Christ, I forgive this person. This power in the name of Jesus. Now, forgiveness does not mean that we turn a blind eye to the injustice that was done. It also doesn't mean that we allow ourselves to be continually walked upon by others, but it means we don't hate. It means that we don't allow our heart to be filled with that spirit of evil, of hatred and revenge. Now, something else about this that doesn't seem connected to this teaching in the gospel, but I believe it is the idea of idolatry. If you look in the Bible, the worst sin that we can commit is idolatry. That's when we put something above God. In the Old Testament, there were many stories about people who had built statues and began to worship them, and began to say, this is God right here, and he's the one that saved us and made us and all that. And they would worship these false gods, and it caused all kinds of trouble. But the remedy to idolatry, to worshiping a false god, is they had to tear down the false idol and destroy it. Well, when we are hurt by someone, whether it's by a friend or an enemy or a stranger, when we're betrayed, something can happen that can lead us to idolatry. Little by little, we can start to make a false god out of our own wounds, out of our own anger. We can make a sort of idol out of our wounds and our anger. And this can happen without us even knowing. A sign that we are starting to make a false god, a false idol, out of our own wounds, our own hurts and anger, is when we think all the time about what someone did to us. When we're like rehearsing in our minds over and over again, how could they do this? They did that. They said this. They did this. This is totally unbelievable and unfair and unjust. And it's like every single moment our mind is focused on this false god of our own wounds. It's like we're devoted to our wounds and our anger. Or another sign of this idolatry regarding our own wounds and anger is we feel compelled to let everyone know what was done to us that hurt us so much. Now, sometimes you have to do that. You have to tell people what you went through. This could be a thing of healing if you're in a counseling session with a counselor, or it could be a thing of healing for someone else who has gone through the same harm that you have. It could also be a way to help stand up against some evil when someone does something horrible. You think of like abuse or violence or whatever. You know, that's the kind of thing you really got to stand up against. But I'm talking about when we have wounds in our own personal history and we feel compelled to tell everyone about what we've been through. We could be at some gathering, we could be with friends and family, and somehow we have to tell them and lead the conversation, talk about, look what I've been through, I've been through this, I've been through that. Well, it's like we're making a false god out of our own wounds, and it's like we're subtly demanding that those around us bow down in reverence before our wounds and our anger. That's a false god, and if you look at the history of false gods, they always oppress the people who are sort of subject to them. A false god never brings interior freedom. And the false god that we create out of our own wounds and our anger really can get us all tied up in a knot spiritually, where it's the thing we always are devoted to. You could be going to pray. You could go to church and say, I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And while you're praying, you start thinking about what someone did to you. It's like your false god is taking attention away from the true God and putting it upon your own wounds and your anger. What's the remedy to idolatry, you have to tear down the false idol. And how do we tear down this false idol we make out of our own wounds and our anger? Well, we got to do that by forgiveness. And this false god was created by us a little at a time, if we've done it. A little bit at a time, we start to create it. Well, a little bit at a time, we have to tear it down. And that's through forgiveness. The whole idea of forgiveness ultimately leads to interior spiritual freedom. We go away from worshiping the false god, an oppressive god of our own wounds and our anger, and we worship the true God, the Lord Jesus, who truly sets us free. And so, as we hear this teaching of Jesus, which is probably the most difficult thing he calls us to do, we should remember he teaches us that this forgiveness, this love, is a way of perfection. Remember that Jesus Christ is the one who is perfect, and one of his perfections is his love and his mercy. May this perfection also be part of our lives as well.